So hi, everyone. Thanks for coming out today on a Saturday afternoon. Today's panel is going to be on data management best practices in autism. My name is David Vacola. I'm the COO and the senior analyst over at Prometheus Research. And today's format is going to be four panelists, each speaking for about 8 minutes. We're then going to do an open Q&A near the end that I hope generates a good discussion. First up today will be Dan Hall. Dan is the Project Science Manager for the National Database for Autism Research. Many of you know it as NDAR. NDAR is funded by the NIH and is rapidly becoming one of the largest repositories in the world for autism data. So, thank you, Dan.
All right. Thank you for sticking it out and coming to this last session. You know, it's the theme that I want to talk about today is really how you need to plan early in data management, and so that's why they put us last. So it's not the irony is certainly there. So I'm going to go through just a few of the topics and sort of where we're going from a data management perspective. We are implementing a fairly broad regimen for data sharing, and I want to talk about why we're doing this and why we should be sharing data. So these first seven points are really why share data. We think that by sharing data, it puts the data out there, ensuring a higher level of data quality. So the information or the data that is being deposited in NDAR really puts emphasis on cleaning that data and making it available for reuse. And by doing that, it puts more pressure on the researcher. I shouldn't say pressure, but puts more onus on the researcher to make sure that that data is of the highest quality. And we think that's a good thing for research in general. Another reason for data sharing is hypothesis generation. We now have data on 25,000 research subjects, and we want to encourage new researchers to come into the field in autism research, and it's hard for them. So by providing data on a broad scale, it's much easier for researchers with good ideas to look and explore those ideas and develop a hypothesis that they can then apply for applications to receive awards. One of the things that we are doing now and what we want to get the field to coalesce around is this idea of linking data to publications. So when a publication is in there, is published and is available in PubMed, we want to make sure that the data associated with that publication is available for corroboration and replication. And so that's really important from a scientific perspective, and that's where we're going with our ability to link publications directly to the data. And I'm going to show you a little bit about this in the few minutes I have here. Another area that we're exploring for data sharing is linking or integration of pipelines with the data that we have available. And we had a demonstration a couple days ago on this where you can pull down data and move it into like a cloud and process that data much quicker than would normally, would normally take for researchers to actually have to put in the infrastructure to do this. We're trying to get the science back to the scientists, and we're providing a lot of infrastructure for sharing not only the data, but these pipelines and these processes so that you can integrate these tools into your research. And then, one of the things that we get hit on is about the definitions and standards that we have out there in our data dictionary aren't perfect, but we found that if we get those standards defined and put out there and we receive data to those standards, that we can allow the community to coalesce around these standards and basically develop better phenotypes or better definitions of, you know, or better standards for the greater community. So we provide all that out on our website, and we encourage you to go and look at them and give us feedback on the standards that we have defined. And if they aren't perfect, then, you know, we ask you to just give us those kinds of feedback, and we can make them better tomorrow. So one of the things I want to talk about is, you know, data sharing in general. I mean, if you look at the strategic plan that was developed by the research community, it's to create mechanisms to share 90% of autism data. This is what the community is asking the federal government in the United States to do, and we are trying to make that happen, make that a reality. And so, you know, that's a pretty tall order, but you know, we think that we can do this, and we're trying to achieve that. At the NIH, there are many initiatives associated with data sharing. Certainly, if you receive a grant of over $500,000 in direct costs, you must have a data sharing plan. We've also initiated a notice encouraging data sharing in autism, and you know, so what that means is that for most of the human subjects research grants, we are putting in the terms associated with data sharing, very specific terms for data sharing. So, you know, we want to basically, you know, tell this community that data sharing will continue, and you should plan for it accordingly. You know, running out of time, but some of the key issues of data sharing is that we want people to know about your data, and we want to make sure that the data that is in ANDAR is appropriately attributed, and we want to make sure summary data is available. I'm going to just touch on a couple of ways that we're doing this, but the important point here is that you need to really plan for data sharing at project inception. You can't just do this at the very end of a project and expect that data to be shared cleanly in an appropriate manner. As time goes on, you really need to, you know, it takes a lot of effort to clean that data, and at the end of the grant, all that information is, or all those people seem to sort of slip away, and if you haven't planned for data sharing, it's going to be difficult to make your data available in a cohesive and consistent fashion. So a couple of things that we're doing is that today or this week we released our website with all of our data, and we display it very clearly, I think, on the website. You can go in and see how we have our data organized, what data is there, and you can actually browse on phenotypes and subphenotypes so that you can see what's available in case you do want to access the data. We also not only want raw data in ANDAR and from a project perspective, but as I said, one of the themes that we're focused on is to really link the data to a publication. So we've actually done this, and the example I have here is a publication in PubMed, and in here you'll notice that in PubMed, there's a link to a you know, where the data is, and we are now integrating with PubMed to do this. And when you press on that link, you can actually go in to where all of the data is, and you can associate your data specific when you're publishing data to the specific cohorts and associate those cohorts with specific subjects and provide that information to the research community, and then link and actually get right into the data. So, you know, so I guess the theme or the point that I want to talk about here is that, you know, we are, you know, looking for the research community to provide data, raw data, specific to publications, and we want to make sure that you are treating it appropriately and making it available consistently to the community. So, we do this for our GUID. We have a data dictionary, which we think is the autism data standard. We are federating with a number of partners here, and we are implementing a data sharing regimen, as I talked about, which is a very specific method for data sharing. And it really has two tenets. One is we want all this descriptive data to be shared, at least from an NIH perspective, every 6 months, and then the experimental data at time of publication using that study method that I just showed. So final thoughts are that you should really expect data reuse, and you should treat your data carefully. Don't wait until the project end is over. Plan for data sharing up front. The quality bar on data sharing will continue. We have a lot of data quality integrated into submission into NDAR and with our other partners here. But we're going to continue to make the data better that is available for sharing, and we want you as the community here to prepare for it. And then the final thought is really with collaboration, data standards, with collaboration and data standards and working with the community, we expect data quality to continue to improve. So the data, in NDAR and available for community use is just going to get better as time goes on. So.